speak loud. We need to lower it even. Okay, everybody. Does anyone need a bulletin today? Did anyone come and didn't get a bulletin? The reason why is on the inside of the bulletin, I'd like you to remove that piece of paper that's in there. And you can follow the sermon along with that, all the verses from the Bible and the notes. We'll be projecting on the screen to make it easier for you. Okay? To make it easier for you to be able to follow the message this morning. Okay. This morning, we're going to be in the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible. We've been in a series now since the end of July, and we'll finish that series next week. And this morning, from Revelation chapter 3, I would like to read verses 7 through 13, a message from Jesus to one of his churches, another one of the churches. The chapters 2 and 3 have a total of 7 messages from Jesus. And let me read these words to you. And to the angel of the churches in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I set before thee an open door. No man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. He shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of God, my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of the heaven from my God, and I'll write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let's bow our heads and let's pray and ask God to bless this holy word. Dear Heavenly Father, we again come and worship your Son, Lord. We've come today to honor his name. And Lord, we've come today because, Lord, we've come to not only to worship him, but Lord, to receive something for our souls. Lord, we know we go through a world which is so filled with things that are just not pleasant. And Lord, we pray that God, that you would give us that spiritual food that we need in our hearts, in our lives, so that God, we can be the people you want us to be. I pray for those without Christ, that God, you would show them their need of a Savior and to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And I pray that for the believers, that God, you would wake us up to realize that you are going to return soon. And there is a job to do, Lord. There is work to do for Christ. Bless now, Father, and may you be glorified. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. What we've learned this morning was a letter from the Lord Jesus written by the Apostle John while he was in prison on the island called Patmos. He wrote to one of his churches, and this church here that he wrote to was the Church of Philadelphia. Okay? And we realize that it was an actual church that existed 2,000 years ago, and there was a message for that particular church, but as you read the Word of God, you find out that it's more for that church there, but it's also a picture of a church that even today can be. We find out that this church is one of the two churches in Revelation actually existing in an area called Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey, one of two churches that Jesus never had to say a word of correction to them. And we find out that it's a church, really a picture of a church that exists right now, waiting for Jesus Christ to return at the rapture. And it is a church that was an unusual church in the sense that Jesus never corrected them about anything, but he commended them for the work that they were doing and their anticipation for Christ to return. So this morning, what I want to preach to you about is a type of church that really, Silver Lake Baptist Church, we all long to be this kind of church, and a model church. So I want to preach to you today upon the topic, the faithful church. The faithful church. Number one, the designation of the Lord. The designation of the Lord. Chapter 3, verse 7, and the verses will be on the screen. Look what Jesus said about this church, or to this church. He said, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write these things, saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth." The first thing that Jesus Christ writes in the letter to this church, he first gives a description of himself to that church. Let me give you what the Bible says here, what Jesus said about himself. The first thing it says here in your notes, Jesus is holy. Jesus is holy. Just write that down there. We find out right here, Jesus is holy, where it says here, saith he that is holy. What does the word holy mean? Many times people hear that word in association, many times in churches, you know, oh, it's holy and this and holy that. What does the word holy really mean? The word holy means separated. That's what the word really means. Separated, set apart for God. And the first thing that Jesus said about himself, of course we know that he being God is absolute holiness, purity, clean. There's no dark, there's no dark spots, nothing, because he is the living God. But we find out that in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, that the Bible talks about believers that they are to be holy. Just notice 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. It says here in 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16, it says, "But as he which is called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, for it is written, be holy, for I am holy." If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are holy. The reason why is that God has cleaned your heart and made it white as snow. The reason why is because each and every one of us who are born again have the Spirit of God living within us. And the Bible teaches here that we are to live our lives separated, different than the way the world says you should live. Silver Lake Baptist Church, we're saved where we are separated to God. And because he's holy, we're supposed to be holy in our manner, our conversation, which means our lifestyle, to be different than the world's. So Jesus, first of all, says, listen, I'm holy. And the second thing that Jesus says here, if you notice, the second thing is that Jesus is genuine. He's genuine. He said, not only am I holy, but the Bible says, he that is true. Jesus is true. He's genuine. In other words, he's full of integrity. You know what John chapter 14, verse 6, when Jesus was in the upper room, shortly before he left the upper room and was betrayed, he said to his disciples that he was going to go away and leave them. And as soon as he said that, they began to be sorrowful. They started to be sorrowful. He says, don't worry about that. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And he said that he was going to go away, and he told them, you're going to know the way. And Thomas said, Lord, if you go, how can we know the way? And Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus answered and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus said, not only am I the way, but I am the truth. You know, we live in a world that everybody says things are true and a bunch of liars. If you really get to think about it, you can't trust anything you hear today on TV. You can't hear anything from politics. They say one thing this year, next year they say the complete opposite. They have people who are called spin masters. You know what a spin master is? He's someone who spins a story in the direction where he wants to go. And you start to listen to them, and he says one thing, he says, let me tell you what it really means. Well, Jesus is not that kind of person. Jesus tells you the way it is so that you can make informed decisions about life and the direction you will go. Jesus is one of integrity. And that's something that's missing the world today. Integrity. When he says something, he says yes is yes. When he says no, you can mark it down. It's no. So notice that not only is Jesus holy, he is genuine. I want you to notice the third one here. Just go for a look in your notes. Jesus is, write this word down, sovereign. Sovereign. He said that not only is he holy, not only is he true, but he that hath the key of David. The one who can open and shut his will at will. He's sovereign. In other words, Jesus Christ has total authority. We got to always remember that, church, that the Bible tells us what God says, and he has authority. Now remember what we say here in Revelation chapter 19, verse 6. Revelation chapter 19, verse 6. The Bible says in verse 6, "As I heard with the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns." You know what omnipotent means? He has all power. God is not surprised by anything that's going on in this world. And God can do anything he wants, whenever he wants. And we realize that he has total authority. And you and me have to remember that. There's a lot of rotten things that happen in this life. There's a lot of rotten things that are hard to understand and hard to explain. But we have faith to know that, listen, God knows what he's doing. God knows what he's doing. And when I can't understand things, I just turn it over to him and say, God, you know what you're doing. You have all power. So we find out as he writes to this church, his church in the city of Philadelphia, in the area called Asia Minor, where modern-day Turkey, he first gives a designation of himself: the Lord is holy. Number two, the Lord is genuine. Number three, the Lord is sovereign. Now, we get to number two. We're finding out about this letter. Jesus writes, and we'll write this one down here. Jesus commended the church. Commended the church. And now let me read the word here, verse 8, what he says about the church. It says to the church, look at verse 8. He says, "I know your works." You know what? God knows everything about us. God knows what kind of life we live. God also knows what kind of work we do for him and why we do what we do. Look what he says here. "I know thy works. Behold, I've set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast little strength, and hast kept thy word, and thou hast denied my name." Let me just give you a few things when he tells this church. First of all, they have an open door. You want to write that down. They have an open door. Look what he says here. "I have set before thee an open door." What is he talking about, an open door here? It's an open door for ministry. You see, the city of Philadelphia, where it was located in Turkey at that time, was the gateway into all of Asia Minor. If you were going to go into Asia Minor, this is the city you would go through, and it would lead you to other cities throughout that area. He says, listen, you're an open door. I've opened that door for you. Now, let's hold it for a moment. Let me speak a little bit about open doors, and I'll try to explain even better. In the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 16, the Apostle Paul was writing a letter while he was in the area of Ephesus, okay, which happened to be in Asia Minor, and he was writing to the church at Corinth. Look what he says right over here. He wrote a letter, a long letter, 16 chapters we have in our Bible, but it says this in verses 8 and 9. He says, "But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost." He's telling the church there, "I'm going to stay here in Ephesus." Look what reason he said. "For a great door effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries." He was saying, listen, I'm staying where I am right now. He stayed actually 3 years, but it's the longest stay that the Apostle Paul had in starting a church. He said, I'm going to stay here. I'm not going to leave right now. But the reason I'm here is because God has opened a large door. Now, what is he talking about, a door? He's talking about a door of ministry, an opportunity to reach people for Jesus Christ. And the door was wide open. But he said, listen, I may be here for a long time, but you know what? There are many adversaries. Listen, if you want to do God's will for your life, God will open doors for you. And you're going to go through those doors so you can serve him. But let me tell you something. If you do go and serve God, there's going to be adversaries. There is a real devil that's in this world. There's no other way to explain the lunacy, the craziness, the off-the-charts behavior of human beings that are going on, not only in our country, it's all over the world. There only can be one explanation about it, and that is the originator of evil and wickedness, and that is Satan. So Silver Lake Baptist Church, the Bible's teaching here that there's doors of opportunity, but if we're going to go through that door and minister for God, there are going to be many adversaries against us. Notice also what the Apostle Paul said in Colossians. Colossians chapter 4 and Colossians chapter 4 verses 2 and 3. Let me read these words to you. It says here in Colossians 4, verses 2 and 3, it says here, "Continue in prayer and watch for the same with thanksgiving. Withal praying also for us that God would open unto us," look at the word here, "open to us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which also I'm in bonds." He's asking the church in Colossae, pray for me. Pray that God would open a door that I can minister and tell people about the truth of Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we find out over here, the Lord Jesus Christ here is saying you have an open door. Just take a look at Belleville for just a moment. Take a look at it geographically, if you think for just a moment here. Where we stand right over here, if you go out that door and go east, you're into North, the largest city of New Jersey. And if you said go east, go west, you run into what? Bloomfield. Make a left at that light down there, and make a left, Washington Avenue, just follow around. Go about 2 minutes, you're in East Orange. And if you decide to go north over there, okay, I'll use my fingers over there, okay, where do you go? You go into Nutley. And just go a little bit further down, and you're in Montclair. And before you know it, if you just take a look at the way this part of Belleville sits, with all these towns bumping up one against the other, it's like a gateway.
Yes.
It really is. Now let me go something further. God's more concerned about the people that live in those towns than the houses that stand there. There's men and women, just like you and me, boys and girls, like what we have upstairs, teenagers, single people, married people, people that are widows. We have African people. We have white people. We have Spanish people. We have Asian people. God put this church here for a reason. And we stand on an opportunity of a great door opening to be able to reach men and women for Christ. God loved human beings so much, he sent his own son to die for us. That should be upon our hearts and our minds for our entire lives. But God died for me. And the message that we have, we cannot keep it to ourselves. But we as a church have to get that message out in these areas. Because God died for these areas too. Let's just look a little bit over here. Look right over here. He says, they have an open door. Put this down over here. They have little strength. Put that down. They have little. He's telling the church, listen, there's an open door here, but you have little strength. Look what he says over here. It says right here in the verse, they set before thee an open door, and then it says in verse 8, thou hast little strength. How can we do it? How can we reach people for Christ? Look at how big this area is. And let's go one step further. He told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's 7.5 billion people. He's talking to the church then, but he's also talking to the church now. You'll say to yourself, Pastor, it is such a big challenge. How can we do this? We don't have the people. We don't have the money. We don't have all the gifts to be able to reach such a big, large projection of people. How can this be done? And Jesus says to the church, you don't have very much strength. You only have a little strength. Well, let's take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. The Lord Jesus was speaking to the Apostle Paul. And he said this here in verse 9. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. What we do in our strength has no staying power. I'm going to repeat it again. Doing things in our own strength has no staying power. But when Christ does things for us in his strength, amen, that lasts forever. Amen. Listen, the weaker you are, the stronger Christ is in you. The stronger you are in yourself, the weaker you really are. So what Jesus Christ is saying here, listen, I'm going to open a great door of opportunity here to reach a lot of people, but I'm telling you one thing right now. You don't have the strength. And the church had to realize our strength is not in ourselves, it's in Jesus Christ. And Silver Lake Baptist Church, we're a good number of people here today in the summer. It's a good number. But listen, it's not the number that counts. It's the strength of God that works in us and through us. Because we've got a large job to do here. Look what else he says here. Look at, not only they had a little strength, look at what else it is here. They had kept the word of God. Look at chapter 3, verse 8. Look what it says. He says, Jesus said to the church, look at, you kept my word. You know, one of the biggest problems in churches today in America is the removal of the Word of God from the pulpits. When believers don't know what God desires and standards are, when they can't do it, why do they know why? Because the Word of God's not being preached. A couple of weeks ago, I called a friend of mine who is in the ministry. He's in the ministry today, pastoring down south from here. We both were in Bible college, two separate top Bible colleges. He was here in New Jersey. I was up in Boston, Massachusetts, getting my training. And I called him up, and we were just talking. He said, man, I just got back from vacation. I went to visit my children. One child lives out in the Midwest, and he had another child in Virginia. I said, how'd it go? He said, good. But when I was in Virginia for those couple of weeks, I went to three different churches. And then, I'm sorry, I even went. So I said to him, why? What's the matter? Then I'm going to these churches, they're preaching psychology. They weren't preaching the Bible. They're preaching, did they have a Bible open? Sure, they did. Sure, they had this on the pulpit, whatever. But they weren't preaching the Bible. Preaching psychology. Listen, people don't need psychology when they come to the church. What they need to do is hear from God. That's what they really need. Excuse me, let's take a little water here, a little dry. He says over here to the church, you've kept the word. Listen, Bible-believing churches like ours and thousands of them in America and many more thousands throughout the world, we are to keep the word of God in its place. It is the supreme answer to the needs of men. And the word of God, the written word, exalts the living word, Jesus Christ. The written word, he's the living word. So he told the church, I'm going to commend you, but let me tell you, there's a great door. Number two, you don't have much strength. Number three, I'm going to tell you right now, you've been keeping the word of God. Look at the next one. They have not denied the Lord. They have not denied the Lord. Look what he says right here. Has not denied my name. They would not participate in emperor worship. Remember last week in the sermon I preached last week, at this particular time, there was emperor worship. The emperors of Rome declared themselves to be God. And if you worship them, they didn't care really what religion you were, but you had to worship the emperor. And if you worship them, everything's going all right for you. But if you didn't worship the emperor, well, let's put it this way. You could be robbed, and nobody would do anything about it. They can beat you up. Nobody can do anything about it. They could kill you, and nobody can do anything about it. If you had a business, nobody would do business with you. Okay? You weren't allowed even to go to the marketplace to buy food for your family. So what happened, the Christians were being beaten, they were being robbed, they were being pushed to the side. Some of them were starving to death because they would not bow their knee to the emperor. Look what Jesus said here. You've not denied my name. You haven't denied me. Let's take a look what Jesus said about Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Jesus said this. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, Jesus said, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. The world we love today, does not worship the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that. But if we are true believers of Christ, we are to worship him and honor him and not deny his name. The Bible says, if you confess him before men, he says, when you get to heaven, I'm going to tell my Father that you confess me. But if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father in heaven. That's pretty clear, isn't it? This church will always honor the name of Jesus. He's the one who gave his life on Calvary's tree. His blood flowed from his nails that were in the nails in his hands and his feet. From the blood that came down his head from the crown of thorns to the various different beatings that went on the body of Jesus Christ. And he did that because he loved us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So whether we sing with the team here, or we pray, in which we do, or give our offerings unto God, or to preach from this pulpit, or to teach when we teach in our classes, we'll always honor and exalt the name of Jesus. And church, if you do that, and our church does that, it doesn't matter how big we are, how much money there is, or anything like that, it'll give glory to God. Now, turn on the next page. Let's take a look at the third one. The declaration of Christ to his church. The declaration. What is Christ saying? Notice, number one, he will deal with his enemies. He will deal with their enemies. I'm sorry. Revelation chapter 3, verse 9. Revelation 3, verse 9. Notice what Jesus said. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. And behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Jesus will deal with the enemies. Our enemies. We're not to hate our enemies. We're supposed to love our enemies. But it seemed over here in this scripture here that the Jews in the city of Philadelphia were persecuting the Christians. They were persecuting them. And you know what Jesus said? Listen, they call themselves Jews, but they're not really Jews. They worship in the synagogue of Satan. He says, don't worry about it. I'll deal with them. And when God says he'll deal with it, he'll deal with it in his timing, in his way. We find out he'll deal with the enemies. And Jesus will take care of them. Number two, notice also something here. He promises to keep them from the hour of trial. The hour of trial. There should be a verse next to that. I left it out. It is Revelation 3:10. Put that R-E-V period and put 3:10. Let me read you. This is one of the great promises. The great promises to Christians. And I'm going to give it to you right now. Jesus said in verse 10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. What does that mean? He's talking about the tribulation period. You see, this church here in history is right now. This is the church age, the end of the church age. This is one of two churches, type of churches that will exist in the world that are Bible believing. He says, because if you kept the word of my patience, you didn't deny me. He says, I'm going to keep you from the hour of temptation that will come upon all the world. And you know what that happens? That means rapture. You see, when the rapture takes place, all men and women who know Christ as their Savior will be taken out of this world. It's going to be called the great evacuation. Okay? We're always talking about the great evacuation, where God will evacuate. Let me give you the verses of scripture from that. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17, it should be on the board. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 and 17. The Bible says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. What does that mean? All the bodies of the Christians from the time of Christ up to where we are now. Their bodies have been in the grave, but their souls have been in heaven. The Bible says they will be resurrected to join together with their souls in the air. And the next verse, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The Bible talks about the rapture is going to take place like that. It's going to come, and all of a sudden, God. And if you know Christ as your Savior, we will be withdrawn from the world. But as much of the joy that we will have at that moment, it will be the darkest time in human history. For there will be 7 years of dark time called the Great Tribulation Period, where the Antichrist will come on the scene and there will be nuclear war and starvation beyond anything a person can imagine of the horrors of this world can ever take place, is going to take place in those 7 years. Two-thirds of the world's population are going to die in 7 years. Battles, wars, and all kinds of evil and wickedness that I don't have enough time to elaborate on in this sermon. But the Bible teaches that because that church has been faithful, you've been faithful, you trusted me, I will take you out of this world. Amen. Next. He promises to come quickly. He promises to come quickly. Chapter 3, verse 11. Jesus said, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Quickly. What does it mean, quickly? We think immediately, well, Jesus said, I'm coming quickly, I'll come today, just like this. Back then. No, that's not what it means. The word quickly means, refers that when he comes, things are going to happen quickly. What is the one thing holding back Jesus coming back? I'm going to tell you one thing right now. The rapture. Once the rapture takes place, remember I told you about the tribulation, 7 years, all those things in Revelation, is going to happen like this. One right after another, after another, after another. That's what it means. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:52. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52, the Apostle Paul said, it says right here, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. You know how fast the twinkling of an eye is? 11/100ths of a second. They measured it. GE measured it years ago. 11/100ths of a second. Behold, it says here, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed, meaning the rapture. So we find out here that Jesus says he'll deal with our enemies. He promises to keep us from the hour of trial. And number three, he promises to come quickly. Things are going to move right along. Let's close with this one. Jesus' direction for Silver Lake Baptist Church. Jesus' direction for Silver Lake Baptist Church. Number one, the potential of the local church. What is the potential for a local church? Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Matthew 16, verse 18. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, it talks about the Lord Jesus Christ and his church. Look at the words that are said here in Matthew 16, verse 18. And let me read them to you. The Bible says, I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church was not built upon Peter. The church was built upon Jesus. And he says, my church will be built upon me, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. So we have an admonition from God, an encouragement from God, that the Bible-believing church is built upon the Word of God, but upon Jesus Christ himself. So number one, we have a tremendous potential for having God's power upon us. Because it's God's church, not my church, it's not your church, it's his church, and it's built upon him. Number two, the principles of a local church. The principles of a local church. Revelation chapter 3, verse 8. Revelation chapter 3, verse 8. Just notice the wording here. In verse 8, I know thy works. Behold, I've set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Notice the doors, the open doors for ministry. You know, every single day I pray for this area. I pray every single day for Belleville. And I pray for Newark. And I'm going to be honest with you. I pray for Bloomfield, Nutley, East Orange, Kearney. All these towns, I pray for every day. Dear God, open the door for Silver Lake Baptist Church to reach men and women before it's too late. Lord, open the door that men and women would be touched by the Spirit of God and would come and seek Jesus. Many of you come from some of these towns and some from other towns. But you know what? God is working in your heart. In another 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, we're sending out those beautiful cards that you get through the mail. We're sending them out to almost 126,000 homes are going to receive a card from us inviting them to come to this new series, Captured by God's Grace. Why are we doing it? Why spend the money to do something like that? Because there's men and women that were just like we were before we got saved, who need a Savior. And we believe that men and women need to hear about Jesus. Many of these men and women have kids, little children. Some of them have teenagers. We want to let them know that we got a program to help them to know what God's will is for their lives, so that they come to know the truth that we came to know a long time ago. And thank God we had the chance to hear a message that many people don't even hear, the message of Jesus. So we find out, number one, open door for ministry. Number two, depend on God's strength, Christ's strength. You say, Pastor, I'm a weak Christian. Okay, if you're a weak Christian, join the club. I'm leery about the ones that say, I'm real strong. I'm leery about that, gang. I'm going to tell you why. Because as soon as you talk about how strong you are, you'll find out very quickly how you go to your knees, because you're going to just fall apart and fouled up by something coming along in your life. When you admit you're weak, that's where you get your strength from. Because the strength is not in yourself, it's in Jesus Christ. Yes. Number three, be faithful to the Word of God. Be faithful to the Word of God. We want to make sure that the Bible is taught and explained to children, teenagers, as well as adults. There's no psychology in this church. There's no psychology here. Men and women need Christ. And we're going to preach the Word of God as it is, unadulterated, not caring what the world out there has to say. And number four, one more thing, the priorities of the local church. What is the priorities of the local church? Look at chapter 3, verse 8, where Jesus says, "Thou hast not denied my name." The chief priority is to lift the name of Jesus and to exalt it. It's His name. His name. He's the Savior. And it's an honor to lift up His name right now as I preach. Lift up the name of Christ. Lift up the name of Jesus in your own life. Share the name of Jesus with others. Tell other people what God has done for you. Look at this closing verse. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God.
Amen.
Whether it's on your job, do things for God's glory. In your home, do things for God's glory. You come to church, do things for God's glory. Don't do it for your glory. That means nothing. But if we do it for God's glory, God takes notice of that. And God will reward you for that. This church is what we call the faithful church. This is the kind of church we want Silver Lake Baptist Church to be. And remember, when I mention the church, I don't mean this wall over here. That means us. Let's bow our heads in prayer. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, this morning we wanted to talk about the faithful church. The faithful church. Were they perfect? No. No church is perfect. None. But they were faithful. God opened a door, and it was a big door. Oh God, let God work in our hearts that there would be a wide open door in all those towns I mentioned before. That men and women without Jesus would start to come to Silver Lake Baptist Church. That God would use you, use me, to tell and invite others. Yesterday I was sitting in my home and the doorbell rang. And then usually in the afternoon, someone's ringing a doorbell. Somebody's selling something. Somebody's doing something. So I opened the door, and it was a pleasant woman. She was about 80 years old. She was working for a marketing firm. And she said, "Mr. Milano, can I speak to you a few minutes? I said, "Who are you?" She explained. And I wasn't really that interested in having somebody ask me a bunch of questions. I said, "Sure." And we sat down on my front porch, and well, for about 10 minutes, she was asking me questions for a marketing firm. And then she asked me, and I told her what kind of work I do, pastor of a church. And as she was going along, I said, "You know, people need Jesus Christ." I took out a tract and I handed it to her, and then she started to confide in me that her husband's 83 years old and he has dementia. And he's going through such a difficult time. And I looked at her and I said, "You know, that's got to be a difficult thing. My mother has a problem like that too. She's 90. And I said to her, and I started to witness to her. I gave her the tract, I witnessed to her. And I said, "Do you mind if I can pray for you and your husband right now?" She said, "Would you do that?" I said, "Absolutely." And I started praying for her. And after I'd gone praying for her, I told her, "I'll continue to pray for her and to read that pamphlet I just gave her, because it has the most wonderful message in all the world, the message of a God who loves sinful people." And she gave me something to fill out. She said, "Could you call me back?" And I said, "I will." And I have her name and her telephone number. She doesn't live around here. She lives about 25 minutes south of me, so it's about an hour from here. And now here's a woman that just was coming to do her job. And then here she's sharing with me about her husband and her and what she's going through. dealing with a loved person, a person she loves with dementia. Listen, folks, there's people like that all around us. They're neighbors, they're friends, they're co-workers. They're people in the marketplace out there. You know what Jesus said? I've opened a wide door for you. And when he opens a door, nobody can shut that door. Nobody can. Only him. Let me ask you a question here this morning. If you're a believer in Christ, did God speak to you? Did God speak to you about something in that sermon that you said, you know, I needed to hear that? If so, would you raise your hand? God spoke to me about something. This is between you and God. God bless you. There's hands all over the building here raised. You can put your hands down. God bless you. God bless you. You can put your hands down. God bless you. God bless you. Let me ask the question. Is there anyone here who does not know for sure that if they die tonight, they would go to heaven? Could you raise your hand? I want to pray for you. Yes, sir. I see your hand. You can put your hand down. Is there anybody else? Just raising your hand, you're simply saying, Pastor, would you pray for me, please? I'm not sure if I died right now where I'd go. Yes, sir, I see your hand too. God bless you. Yes, I see your hand, ma'am. You can put your hand down. You say, Pastor, why is that so important? Because our soul is important. What does a person give in exchange for their soul? How valuable it is. Now, if you raised your hand, you didn't raise your hand. In other words, you wanted to raise your hand, but you didn't. The only way to know for sure you're going to heaven is to trust Jesus Christ to be your Savior. He died on the cross for you. I think everybody here knows that. But that's not enough to get you into heaven. You have to trust him to be your personal Savior. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So what does that mean? You have to believe you're a sinner, but you can confess it to God and say, God, I'm a sinner. But it has to go further than that. You have to believe with all your heart that Jesus' death on the cross was for you personally. You have to open your heart and confess to God that you're a sinner and repent. That means have a change of mind and turn to Jesus and receive him to be your Savior. If you would like to do that today, you can do that right now in your pew, but you've got to mean it with all your heart. You can pray a simple prayer like this. Dear Heavenly Father, I acknowledge I'm a sinner. I don't make any excuses. I believe that Jesus is your son. And he died for me on the cross. Oh God, please come into my heart right now. Jesus, please come in my heart to be my Savior. And my Lord, I repent of my sin. I have a change of mind about it. I'm going the direction you want me to go, Father. Help me to start living for you today. Not tomorrow, today. In Jesus' name. With our heads bowed and eyes closed. Was there anyone that just prayed that prayer in their heart and you meant it? Is there anyone like that? God bless you. I see your hand raised. Anyone else? Yes, I see your hand raised. Yes, ma'am, I see your hand raised. God bless you. Congratulations on coming into the family of God. That's what it's all about. What you just prayed will last for eternity. You never have to pray that prayer ever again if you meant it from your heart. Now, let me get back to those who have raised their hand the first time. Whatever, if you're a believer and you raised your hand, whatever God spoke to you about, I want you to talk to God right now about it. Be serious with God, because God is very serious with you. I want you to take a moment. I want you to think about what was said that you said, it looks like it spoke to me. And I want you to talk to God. Let's give a moment or two. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, today for your word. And Lord Jesus, this is your church. God, I'm asking you to take the word of God that people have heard and use it and work in people's lives, the things that will honor you. We pray for those who receive Christ this morning. Oh God, help them to grow in their faith and put God first in their lives. And I pray for the believers, Lord, we as a church come before you. We have that little strength, Father, we do. The task of the open door is big here. There's a lot of men and women who need Jesus. And God, in ourselves, we can't do it. In ourselves, we don't have the resources and this and that. But Lord God, you can do it through us. We're depending on you, God. We'll go by faith. We're going to try to reach people for Christ in this area. And we ask that you put your hand upon this church. Put your hand upon these men and women. And Lord, let everyone know that what is done here is done by the hand of God. We love you, Jesus Christ. Thank you for loving imperfect people like us and using us for your glory. May we bring glory to you, not ourselves. Please bless. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me just give you a few announcements quickly. If you're here for the first time at Silver Lake Baptist Church, we want to thank you for being here and just say welcome. We pray that if you have a chance to fill out one of those long white cards, fill it out, drop it in the offering plate. And if you made a decision today or you didn't make a decision but you want some information, there's a card there. Just mark it down. And if you have a prayer request, write the request in the back of the card.